KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02.
The NTSB has released a preliminary report on the recent crash near St. Mary's that killed 4 passengers and injured 6. The report does not reveal a cause of the incident. It does put together a more complete timeline of the crash. The report says the aircraft was supposed to go to Mountain Village first, but it diverted to St. Mary's due to deteriorating weather. The Cessna 208 was flying at a low altitude toward the airport and then continued past the runway. That's according to witnesses who then attempted to reach the pilot on radio. They heard no response, but soon heard from another pilot that an emergency beacon was activated nearby. The airplane traveled more than 200 feet before impact across open tundra. The NTSB says the crash occurred at 6:24 that evening. The airplane was not equipped with a cockpit voice recorder or a flight data recorder, and it was not required to have that equipment on board. The NTSB is flying the wreckage to a facility in Anchorage where they will piece together the plane and determine whether there were any mechanical problems that could have led to the crash. The NTSB reports weather at the airport at the time of the crash was overcast at 300 feet with temperatures at 18 degrees. The NTSB meteorologist is also assigned to the case. The full investigation could take a year to complete. And residents who have property damage from last month's coastal storms can now apply for state disaster assistance funds. The state has established both a phone line and a website to help residents begin the application process. Personnel were in Kotlik on Sunday and Monday to help people fill out applications. Teams also will be available in Stebbins today. A huge surge of water in early November damaged water and sewer lines and homes. Those affected could be covered by 2 programs. The first includes damages to home, personal property, transportation, and medical expenses incurred because of the storm. The second is temporary housing grants, which could help displaced residents. Gubernatorial candidate Byron Malott was at Nome's Mini Convention Center yesterday to hold an open lunchtime discussion with Nomites before an afternoon fundraiser. Malott called the informal meeting a conversation, one of many he's arranged across the state since announcing his candidacy in September. Malott emphasized again and again that crafting political decisions from listening and dialogue is more important than any single policy point or plan.
People will fault me for this, but I think that how we do things can be even more important than the result.
After asking the dozen or so attendees sitting in a wide circle what they love most about living in Nome, Malott took questions for about 40 minutes. Topics ranged from the very general to the minutely specific. Everything from the candidate's philosophy toward fisheries to federal funding options for a village clinic in Gamble. Over and over again, Malott consistently answered by falling back on one of 2 themes. The first was a need for statewide unity in governance and citizenship, urban, rural, or in between, not one section, according to Malott. The second theme was Malott's insistence that policies need to be the result of a political process rather than pre-made solutions applied across the board.
I think that listening and learning and discussing and having dialogue is a critical part of policy making. You know, consensus building is hard, particularly in a political dialogue. But the need to have conversation, the need to understand one another, the need to communicate with one another is to me very important.
Most of the questions Malott took did not yield specific answers, but rather a method for approaching issues. Questioned on how he'd respond to St. Lawrence Island's current economic disaster, Malott readily admitted he did not have an exact fix. Rather than struggle to reinvent or reapply a solution, Malott said if he were governor, he'd defer to local opinions and seek more information before ever making a decision. It was a response he gave in one form or another many times. Even on the repeal of Governor Parnell's controversial tax cut for oil producers, Malott says his support for repeal efforts is based mostly on the principle that the electorate was not sufficiently engaged on the matter.
I've said that I will vote for the repeal of SB 21. And that decision has more to do with the process that was used, where many, many Alaskans didn't feel at all that they were involved, that they were asked, that their representatives necessarily represented them fully.
Asked about specific areas of focus for diversifying Alaska's revenues, Malott offered only that state government needed to play a more active role in generating broader, more equitable investments.
The state of Alaska can have a very important role to play there, and that would be a high priority of mine to do so. We need to expand. We need to diversify Alaska's economy as a high priority.
On one topic, Malott was unequivocal. Asked whether he supports same-sex marriage, he replied, yes. But even that stance, he qualified as part of his general attitude to state politics that all Alaskans are entitled to equal treatment and consideration by their government. A pay raise proposal for leaders in the state of Alaska's executive branch has been approved by the State Officers Compensation Commission and will be forwarded to the Alaska Legislature during next year's session. It will take effect automatically unless rejected by the body. Alaska Dispatch reports the commission made its recommendations and held a public hearing before last week's announcement of an unanticipated $2 billion budget shortfall. The commission, chaired by former Senator Rick Halford, was created in 2008 to remove current office holders from the politically dicey task of setting their own salaries. This year's recommendations, adopted unanimously, called for raises for Governor Sean Parnell. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell and top state department heads like commissioners and Attorney General Michael Garrity. None had sought the increases. Parnell currently makes $145,000 a year, with the commission saying he should instead get $150,872 starting July 1st, which would include next year's cost of living raise and then get another 2.5% the following year. Treadwell will get a raise to $119,000 with another 2.5% increase next year. State Personnel Director Nikki Neal said the raises were given final approval December 4th and will be submitted to the legislature within 10 days of the beginning of next year's session. The legislature then has 60 days to decide whether to reject them, which would require passage of bills in both houses. The price of gold in New York, down $5.30 an ounce to $1,257.70. An ounce of silver, down 5 cents to $20.48. It's currently 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.